Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. And all things are possible now that you're here.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious and loving Father, we come before you this morning, O God, in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Believing, Father, that everything has gone into hyper speed. We see the economy going down. We see health going down. We see the nations against nations. We see signs in the heavens above and the earth below. We know, Father, that we are at the end time. We know you came down with a shout, which is a message. We know that message gets us ready for the voice of the resurrection. And Father, we're just waiting for that resurrection ministry. And we ask you, Father, to help us, O God, to be prepared. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And let's just remain standing and we'll read one verse of Scripture, John chapter 1, verse 5. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Let's bow our heads one more time. Gracious Father, we thank you for your word. We ask you, O God, to help us to understand the meaning, Father, that the darkness does not comprehend your light. For we know that your great light has come, and we realize, Father, there's many that have no clue as to what has taken place in this hour. So we just commit ourselves to your great light, to your shout, to the message which has gone forth in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. That's the story of the church. That's the story of twins. The light comes, and the darkness comprehends it not. They don't understand it because it's light, and they are darkness. And the darkness cannot comprehend the light, but the light comes to the darkness and shines upon it, but is rejected by the darkness because they just do not comprehend what the light is all about. Many people think that this message is God sent a prophet. And Brother Brown said, I have no more to do with it than nothing. No more than just being a voice. And even that against my better judgment. I wanted to be a trapper. But it's the will of my Father that I've declared to do. And so we find a vessel of God. As the firstborn son was a vessel of God also. This vessel of God realizing that it's not my will, but it's his will be done. Now in John chapter 3 and verse 18 we read, he that believeth on him is not condemned. So we have to ask yourself, well, okay, what does it mean to believe? Because many people say, well, I believe, I'm a believer. And we pointed out in many times, Brother Branham said, well, the devil believes and he trembles. Judas believed. Esau believed. Balaam believed. They all worshiped God. The same God as Moses. Balaam worshipped the same God as Moses. He was a prophet of God. He just had a false word. Now, he that believeth on him is not condemned. And Brother Branham defined for us who is a believer. He said, those that are born again, filled with the Spirit of God. Only until you're filled with his Spirit can you believe. Why? Because 1 Corinthians chapter 2 tells us, what man can understand the things of God except the Spirit of God be in him? So unless you have the Spirit of God, unless you're born again, it's a mystery to you. You saw some things happen. Remember the witch doctors and remember the palm reader. I mean, she saw the light over Brother Branham's head. How many people sitting in the audience could see that light? You see, the religious demons. Go back some time to Brother Ram's study on demonology, the religious realm. He said the worst people are the religious people. God doesn't want us to have religion. That's a covering. God wants us to have a relationship. We're his children. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. Now, if someone comes to you at the restaurant and says, "Would you like to have, we have Pepsi products. Would you like to have Pepsi, or would you like to have Dr. Pepper?" Well, I'd rather have Dr. Pepper. In other words, I am favoring Dr. Pepper over Pepsi. You understand what the word "rather" means? It means in a greater measure. I have a greater propensity for Dr. Pepper than I have for Pepsi. Okay? So it says, "This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light." In a greater measure. It doesn't say that they didn't love light. These are religious people. We're studying twins. This is number, 24 in our series on twins. They're religious people. And they love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. "For everyone that doeth evil hates the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." We say, how can they love light less and yet hate light? Because God is a 100% God. "Behold, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord." Brother Branham said, you can't have one faith and have two lords. You can't have that. Brother Branham said that. You can't have one faith and have three lords. Paul said there's one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. And he said that one faith is the one faith of the one Lord. And he said you cannot have unity of the faith with more than one Lord. Now, notice it says, "And men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." Now that's self-explanatory. You can go to Galatians chapter 5, where Paul talks of the fruits of the Spirit. And then he talks about the fruits of the flesh. And the fruits of the flesh, as we know, are many. They're murder and deceit and theft and fornication, adultery, you name it. "For everyone that doeth evil hates the light, neither will come to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved," in other words, exposed. "But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought," that they were, had their source in God. Now, from the anointed ones at the end time, Brother Branham said, notice the light has come. It's not in darkness. The light comes to the darkness, and the darkness perceives it not. Darkness perceives it not. Notice now, the anointed ones in this day, as Moses brought out those children of Israel, and they listened and got all confused with that great nation up there. Now, Israel was interdenominational. It had no land. It had no home. It was going to a home. We have no church. We're going to a church, the church of the firstborn, the church that's in glory. Not the church that's on earth by man. The church that's in glory, the called out ones, predestinated to eternal life, see, going to their home, and when they come up to the place to cross over, they doubted the word. We've come to the place to cross over. Let me tell you something. In the next 6 months, you're going to see so many changes. We've seen so many changes in the last 2 years. You're going to see a lot more changes in the next 6 months. Things are happening. It's doubling unto her double. It's coming on very fast. We come up to the borderline, getting ready to go over. That's when they fell away. The spies went over into the land. They came back with the grapes. They said, we've tasted of the heavenly gift. We've been made partakers of the age to come, the power of the age to come. And it says, then, if they fall away, there's no renewing unto them. There's no repentance. They are gone, gone, gone. And we're seeing people leave this message left and right. Not just leaving the message totally, but leaving the vindicated prophet of God for other ministries. And saying, this pastor or this teacher or this apostle or this evangelist has a better understanding than Brother Branham had himself. That's hogwash. Where do they get it from? I'll tell you where they get it from. They get it from hell itself. That's Satan's deflection. Always, 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 when God has one man for the age And God anoints that man for the age, and other men are given to help that man, but they're not above the man, they are not even equal to the man, they are in subjection to the man, and if they come and they say anything contrary to what the man that was anointed by God says, they are false. That's it. Now, as Moses brought those children out of Israel, and they listened, and got all confused with that great nation up there. Who they listened to? That great nation. Others than Moses. Now, Israel was interdenominational, had no land, no home, no. It was going to a home, etc. He says, we're going to a church, the church of the firstborn, the church that's in glory, not the church that's on earth by man, the church that's in glory, the called out ones predestinated to eternal life. See, going to their home, and when they come up to the place to cross over, they doubted the word. And come back after Joshua and Caleb, and then that went over and brought back a bunch of grapes to prove to them the land was there, the word of God's promise. It's a good land, milk and honey, and brought it back on this side to prove to them. And they tasted of it, that's Hebrews 6, and said, oh, we can't do it. What happened? They perished in the wilderness. Now let me tell you something. Those messengers that went over to the other those spies, when spied out the land, 10 of them went over, only 2 of them. 20% had a good report. The rest of them said, oh, no doubt the grapes are there. No doubt the cities are there. They're already ready for us to inhabit. No doubt this, no doubt that. But you know, there's giants in the land. So what? David, a little ruddy 13-year-old boy, had killed a lion, killed a bear, because he was fearless. Because he had a God that promised to be his buckler, his shield.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And he said, what's this giant to me? You know, right down here, an hour drive from here, there's a place called Serpent Mount, built in 300 BC. Did you know they found giant skeletons of men 15 feet tall, 12 feet tall, 9 feet tall, and 2 of them 7.5 feet tall, a man and a woman? You know there's over 300 of those skeletons in the United States? Where'd they come from? Where'd they come from? As it was in the days of Noah. So shall it be when the Son of Man is revealed. Where do those skeletons come from that were thousands of years old? Buried. And placed in such a good condition that they weren't all back to the ashes. Remember in the days of Noah? It says, and there were giants in the land. That's right. Brother Branham said, and Brother Vail told us, Brother Branham told him personally, the serpent was a very, very big man. He was a giant. Goliath was a giant, and he had brothers. They all had 6 fingers, 6 toes. You know what they found in these skeletons, 6 fingers. You had a serpent race, brother, sister, that was in the land, in this land. Not only this land, but all over the world, there's places where they've got pyramids, there's places where they had their own network, their own, some type of electronic, I don't know what you call it, grid. Brother Brown told us about that, you know, Christianity versus paganism. He said that the earth actually in the days of Noah was tilted at a 4.5 degree axis because of a nuclear explosion. Yeah. See, there's a lot of stuff we just don't understand. And we you know what? We're afraid to look into those things. You shouldn't be afraid of anything. When a vindicated prophet tells you something, go look for it. Go find it. You'll find evidence of it everywhere. Now, so they perished in the wilderness because of these giants. And yet, a 13-year-old boy with a little string, a couple strings and 5 smooth rocks, was able to take down the giant, cut his head off with his own sword. If God be for us, what does the Bible say? Who can be against us? But they perished in the wilderness. They stayed right there and they organized themselves. You see the difference between those that are children of light and the children of darkness. Children of darkness always go into organization. always organize. From Queen of Sheba, Brother Brown said, you can't hide it. You can't hide genuine life. You take natural life, botany life, let the sun come warm. Now, like in my country, the little seeds drop off. Out of these flowers, they die. They have a funeral procession. The skies cry down great big October tears and bury them in the ground. The seeds burst. The pulp runs up. That isn't the end of that flower. Just let the sun, the S-U-N, who has control of the life of botany, and then come, and when it begins to shine upon the ground and get it into a certain temperature, and he's actually referring to something else because he goes on right here. He says, no other temperature will do it. Nothing else will put that color in there but the sun. So you let it get in the right temperature, the right atmosphere. And the little germ of life hid somewhere in the dirt will come forth again. Did you ever lay concrete walk and notice in the spring of the year that there is a thicket of grass right around the edge of the walk? What is it? It's that seed that was buried under the walk. And when the temperature gets right, the season gets right, you can't hide it. It'll work its way right through and come stick up its little head and praise God because it's life. You can't hide it when the S-U-N is shining. Just as sure as the S-U-N brings botany life, the S-O-N brings eternal life, and you can't hide it. It'll shine forth. There's something has to happen. Jesus said, if they hold their peace, the stones will immediately cry out. Something taking place. When God, the eternal life, begins to shine his spirit down, those that are ordained to life will recognize it. They'll come and walk in the light, and they will live in the light. Now, both sides of the twins, the spiritual and carnal, both believe that they're walking in the light. Both believe they have the light of God. The foolish virgin thought she had enough oil to get by. But her lamp went dry. She ran out of oil, and thus she ran out of light. In Matthew 25, verse 1, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. And they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their lamps, in their vessels with their lamps. So the vessel is not the lamp. It's their vessel. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, there was a cry made. Now notice this cry was made. The root word means a scream went forth, which is a shout. And what is a shout? Behold, what was the shout? Behold! That means look and see the bridegroom. He's here. Come out to meet him. So where were they? They were inside somewhere. Matthew 25 tells us the ones who is outside the door is the groom. And yet we're told in Revelation 3 and 20 that he is knocking at the door of the church. He's trying to get in. Behold, I stand at the door and I'm knocking. He's on the outside. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. And Brother Ram said, that's the word. He's here. And to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I am overcome and sat down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So it's the church, Brother Ram said. They're in the church. He's knocking. Behold, the bridegroom, he's here. Come out to meet him. As Paul said, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. Now in James chapter 5, we see this one that's knocking at the door is actually also, he's the supreme judge himself. That is the one who is standing at the door. Like we read in the book of Revelation. It says, when the Lamb, chapter 5, it says, there was no man worthy. On earth or in heaven, no man was worthy to take the book out of the hand of him that sat upon the throne. And then the lion of the tribe of Judah prevailed, and he came and took the book, and he opened the book. Then he says, I looked at the lion, and it was actually the lamb. And Brother Branham said, when the lamb who's on the throne now, when he gets ready to come and claim those that he redeemed, and steps from the throne, he becomes the lion. So actually right now, he is the lion. Yeah, he's getting ready to be the lion. He's the lamb which was slain before the foundations of the world. And always remember, He was slain before the foundations of the world, Revelation 13 and 8. He was slain before the foundations of the world. At the same time, you were ordained before the foundations of the world, predestinated to be to the adoption of children. Now see, people try to say there's no more mercy since 63, because in 63 the seals were open. They say the Lamb came off the throne and there's no more mercy. That is a lie. Otherwise, what are you sitting in here? How many of you were in the message before 63? That lie has gone around the world. It's put more bondage, more people in bondage than any other lie that I know. Brother Branham never taught that. As I pointed out a couple weeks ago, Brother Branham showed us, he said, when I go into a vision, he said, it's like when I was a boy, we wanted to go in to see the circus, but we didn't have money to go in. So he said, I was taller, so I would jump up and hold myself up on the fence, and I'd look through the peephole, and they'd say, what do you see? I see a giraffe. Oh yeah, well tell us about it. Well, it has a real long neck, it has spots on its, all over his body, and he's about 20 to 30 feet tall, he's just huge. And I see these horns coming off of his head, and et cetera, et cetera. And then he said, I started to get tired, I have to come down. He said, then they said, well, what else do you see? Well, then I go by memory, and I try to tell them by memory what I saw. He said, that's when you're pulling on the vision, or when you're pulling the vision through me. You see? He said, but, you know, what if I could just stand there, and the hole was this high, and I just stand there, I could look and describe to you play by play what's happening. Oh, now I see an elephant. He's big, he's gray, he's got a real long snout, real long trunk. He's got horns, you know, coming out of his, a tusk coming out of his mouth. You know, and he'd go on like that. Brother Brown said, see, that's when God's pulling the vision. So when the seals were opened, it wasn't that they were opened in 1963. The opening to the portal where you could see the beginning all the way to the end, the whole church on display, and that Nicolaitan spirit, how it came in the form of a doctrine, then it changed power, it went into the form of a man, it was incarnate in a man, the Pope, he went forth killing and murdering everything else, went into the black horse, and then it went into the brindle horse, and then we see the fifth seal, we see, you know, things happening in Germany, and the Jews are persecuted and everything else. Then we see the sixth seal, which is the beginning of the judgments, because they turned down the word. Then we see the seventh seal, but it's closed. I mean, there's nothing there, so we can't tell you about it, but we know that that's the coming of the Lord. Now you've got the whole Christianity from the beginning to the end. It's like watching a big play, a big movie. The prophet's looking through the portal of God. He's describing to us what's taking place. So the Lamb doesn't come at that time. Because Brother Branham said the Lamb is not seen from Revelation chapter 5 until Revelation chapter 19. So who came down in Revelation 10? Well, I'll tell you who came down. The Father of Glory came down, because Brother Branham said when the Lamb took the book and he opened the book, he got up on the Father's throne, the Father came down and brought the book with him. Gave it to the prophet. Gave it to the seventh angel. All right? Now, so who is the Lamb? That's the Son of God. And he becomes a lion at the second coming. And the Bible says the lion prevailed to open the book. So the actually opening of the whole thing is actually in the future. And yet Brother Branham was able to look into it and see the whole picture. Hallelujah. So mercy, when the Lamb finally leaves the throne and becomes the lion again, at second coming, that is when he comes to claim those that were in the book that he redeemed. That's when there is, he that's filthy will be filthy still. He that is righteous will be righteous still. In other words, at this, when the second coming happens, then it's, look, then there is no more mercy. You're either in or you're out at that time. You're either in the ark or you're out of the ark. So all of this nonsense that goes on because people try to put a chronology to the seals when the chronology is like Brother Branham looking at a whole movie. You know, you tell the beginning of the movie, the middle of the movie, the end of the movie, and you know, the movie might have been made 20, 30 years ago. It might have been acted out. Look, the book was written how many years ago? 2,000 years ago. John saw the vision. He saw what took place 2,000 years ago. He saw it all from beginning to end. He saw the lion become the lamb. The lamb become the lion. He saw him come down. He saw the whole works. He saw the end of the world. He saw the destruction of Rome, the Vatican, everything. He saw it 2,000 years ago. So the script was written before the foundations of the world. Hallelujah. And when God tore the temple, tore the curtain in the temple, that opened up everything. And then we know that God reveals his word or interprets his word by doing what? By bringing it to pass. So when God brought to pass those things, the prophet was able to say, this is the interpretation. Okay, this is what it says. It was a Nicolaitan spirit. Notice it was a doctrine. And he said it was in the church. It was on a white horse. It was virtuous. Looked pretty good. But he said there's something about the thing. The guy that had this doctrine, he said he was a bluff because he had a bow but no arrows. That shows his spirit was wrong. That's not the spirit of God, because God is truth. You see? So, Brother Branham, it took a vindicated prophet to say, okay, here's what took place in the history of the church, and here's what the scripture says. This seal is opened. And then he did all seven that way. Now, so James 5, we see that it's the supreme judge himself who is standing at the door. He said, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming. That word is actually the Greek word parousia, and it means the appearing. All right? Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the presence, unto the appearing of the Lord. Brother Branham said, there's an appearing and a coming. He said, there's two words. They mean two different things. He said, now is the appearing. He's appearing in the form of the Holy Spirit, getting us ready for the coming. Now, when I went to Congo in 2004, they told me that all over the place, the people were preaching many, many false doctrines. Especially, they were saying, Brother Branham, the second coming took place in 63. Because that was actually God in the form of Brother Branham's flesh as the second coming. They were baptizing in Brother Branham's name and everything else because they didn't understand the appearing before the coming. In the Old Testament, the Father came down before the promised son Isaac. God Elohim came down and made the promise, and then came the promised son Isaac. Always the Father before the Son. Whoever heard of a son before the Father? How can a son be his own father? So God comes down in this hour to get us ready for the preparation of his son. Hallelujah. I just love this. The whole Bible just fits together like a glove. Notice he says, behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth. He's waiting and hath long patience for it until he receives the early, that's the teaching rain, and the latter rain, which is the manifestation of the teaching rain. Be you also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord, the parousia of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned. That is the same command the 10 virgins were given. Behold, the bridegroom, come out to meet him. And here James tells us, behold, look, see, the judge is the one who's standing at the door. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. Brother Brown said, that's the white wig of the judge. The supreme judge has come down. Now notice, he is telling us the same thing we read in the beginning of our sermon, that Brother Brown said, grudge not, brethren. How can you be holding on to grudges when you're standing in his presence? I'd like to know that. You can't do it without ignoring the one whose presence you're standing in. You've got to ignore the one who is here in order to be holding a grudge. You understand what I'm saying? What I'm talking about is your focus. If your focus is on Christ, which all the sermons that are preached should be on Jesus Christ, they shouldn't be on the bride. If your focus is on a bride, you've got a lesbian spirit. That's the spirit of the age. Oh, the bride this, the bride that. You know, in some places they sing, instead of he is here, you know, we sing, Jesus is here, Jesus is here. All things are possible now that he's here. That's the last verse Brother Brown gave us. Well, you know what they're singing in some of these churches? She is here. She is here. All things are possible. She is here. You talk about a perversion. What bride has her mind on another bride on the day of her wedding? Huh? Come on. Why should the bride have their focus on the bride when it's all about the groom? Now, if you really, truly believe with all that is in you that the judge of heaven and earth is here, and you would not be holding any grudges, because that only shows your focus is not on him. Your focus is on the one that you're having your grudge with. Wow, that's pretty strong, preacher. That's right. And that's the truth. It's time the bride is getting ready and acting like a bride and getting ready for the going home. The judge of heaven and earth is here. But your focus would have to be on the one who did you wrong if you're holding a grudge with them. Can you imagine a bride on her wedding day focusing on the women who had been her rivals instead of focusing on her groom? Can you imagine the atmosphere that would take place in that wedding? What a sour atmosphere. Look at the story Brother Brown told us of the young girl whose parents owned a ranch. And they both died. So her uncle came to run the ranch and his daughters came with him. And they treated this cousin, who actually she was the rightful owner of the ranch. And they treated her like a stepchild and made her to do all the cleaning and cooking and the chores of the ranch, etc. But when the groom came, remember the Hormel story? When the groom asked her to be ready, did she focus on those who were mistreating her? No, sir. She began to prepare herself for the time that he would come to receive her as his bride. And that is the way we are expected to be as Brother Branham, as brothers and sisters. We are expected to be waiting and longing and anticipating that coming. Hallelujah. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And that is what our groom is looking for when he comes. Not a bride who walks around with her head hung down having a pity party. Oh, poor me. No, he is looking for the character in his bride who is so focused on getting ready to meet him that she has no time to focus and fuss with those who did her wrong. Hallelujah. If you can take anything from this sermon this morning, take that. Then all those virgins, they arose and they trimmed their lamps. Didn't distinguish between wise and foolish here. All those virgins. You know the number 10. It means the end of a cycle. You have 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And then you have 1 and 0. 2, 3, 4, 5, etc. 10 in Scripture means the end of a cycle. There was 10 generations from Adam to Noah. There's 10 generations from Noah to Abraham. There was 10 generations this and that. It's an end of a cycle. Excuse me. You have 10 virgins. It's the end of the virgins. End of the virgins. The woman had 10 silver coins in her headdress. She had to have all 10 if she was a faithful wife. And her husband was away on a journey. And she realized she was missing one of those coins. Now a vindicated prophet of God said the 9 coins she still had, the 9 silver coins, and remember, silver speaks of redemption in the Scriptures, the refining process, the redemption. And she had 9 silver coins left, but she was missing just one. And she knew if her husband returns and she's missing just that one coin, she would be considered an adulteress. She turned the house upside down. There was a sanctification taking place. She looked at every motive, every objective, every place she might have gone. She checked every place for that coin that she was missing. You know what Brother Branham said those 9 coins were? He said they were the 9 fruits of the Spirit. Now if those 9 coins were the 9 fruits of the Spirit, what's the 10th coin? It also has to be a fruit. And the only other fruit we have outside of the 9 fruits of the Spirit is vindicated prophet of God said in the rapture series. He said, when he says, by their fruits you shall know them. He said, what is the fruits? It's the teaching for the season. It's the doctrine that was brought by a vindicated prophet. And if she had all the 9 virtues, all the 9 fruits of the Spirit, and she didn't have the doctrine, she was an adulteress. And isn't it sad that some people have that 1 coin, but they don't have the 9? They're going to be adulterous 9 times over. Now think about all these things. They all have meanings. I spent a whole year teaching on the parables, showing, because Brother Brown said the entire New Testament speaks of this hour. And I took all the parables, there's 35 of them or something like that, 38. All the parables in the New Testament, and I showed how they apply specifically to this hour. As an example, where Jesus said, The kingdom of heaven is like a man that cast his net into the sea and brought forth some fish, you know, some snakes and scorpions, whatever, brought forth some fish. He said, that's the picture of the kingdom of God. And I thought to myself, you know, how in the world, if all the New Testament, because the vindicated prophet said so, all the New Testament speaks of this hour, how can there be a net big enough to go into the sea? Because John tells us, it doesn't even take a vindicated prophet to tell you, the sea is the peoples, nations, multitudes, and tongue. The woman sat upon the, you know, many color, you know, she sat on the seven hills, and she reigned over the, you know, and John tells us in Revelation 17, 18, he says, the sea is peoples, nations, multitude, and tongue. So here's a man who takes a net, he casts it into the whole entire world, peoples, nations, multitudes, and tongues. And it starts bringing in things. Starts bringing in some serpents, some, you know, snakes, it says, some wiggle worms, some whatever, and it brings in some fish. Now, what net is so large that it could cover the entire world? The internet. You see how that parable was meant for this hour? The entire New Testament speaks of this hour. If you believe that, put that in your mind, put that as a filter in your mind. When you read the scripture, it's for you right now. Amen. So he says, all of those virgins, all 10 of them, they trimmed their lamps. Notice all the virgins, wise and foolish, heard the midnight cry, which was the shout. 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18, the Lord shall descend with a shout, which is the message Brother Bram told us. And notice that midnight cry was, it said, behold. In other words, look and see, get your focus on him, for he's here, come out to meet him, he's here. And isn't it interesting that from that time, Brother Bram said, my ministry is to declare him that he's here. That's the midnight cry, behold, which means look and see. That's what the word behold means, to perceive through sight or apprehension, to see, to gaze upon, and you cannot gaze upon him if he is not present to do so. And note, look, do you understand that the parable of the 10 virgins is happening right now and you're part of it? Hallelujah. And notice that when they heard this cry, which the actual Greek word means to scream, this shout, this message, he's here, that's what he screamed. He's here, come out to meet him, he's here. Come out from among them and be you separate, saith the Lord. He's here. And the first thing they begin to do was to trim their lamps. Oh, where is this in the scriptures? Because Psalm 119, 105 says, the word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And the word trimmed was translated from a Greek word kosmio, which means literally to put in a proper order. In other words, they begin to search the word for meaning to this shout that they were hearing. And the command was, he is here, come out to meet him. In other words, if you're going to meet him, you will have to come out from among them and be perfect, saith the Lord. And in meeting him, you will experience him. You have an experiential relationship with him, a gnosko, if you recall from last week's sermon. Therefore, in order to trim their lamps, they began to search the word of God to find out what this midnight cry, the shout, was all about. They trimmed the word. They began to rightly divide the word of truth. And while they were trimming their lamps, they realized their oil had run out. And so they that were foolish went to them that were wise. And they said, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so. I'm sorry, but we cannot do what you ask. You got to go to where we got it from and get it for yourself. You've got to have the same experience with God that we had. I mean, you got to have an experience, a personal relationship, a personal experience. You got to go where we got it. Our oil won't do you any good. You got to have your own oil. You can't go in on what we've got. You've got to get it for yourself. From Hidden Life of Christ, Brother Ramson, and that's the way it is in that kind of light. When you're just living out here and you say, well, I believe all right, but I just can't go all the way with this. I don't believe this and that. I believe so much. And if my church don't teach it well, I wouldn't accept it. See, you're smoking up. In other words, your lamp is getting all dulled out. The least little thing comes along, your chimney gets all smoked up, and the first thing you know, the light goes out. And it is really sad to think that there are so many people who are placing their trust in someone else's experience because they have no experience with God for themselves. Like one man said, he said, my experience is listening to the tape, so I'm sorry, but that's not an experience. I mean, it's a nice experience, but it's not the experience Brother Brown was talking about. But you will never make it, brothers and sisters, by trying to ride in on the coattails of someone else. Too many people are thinking, the prophet had it, and that's good enough for me. I will ride in on his coattail. Oh, no, you won't. And some even think, Brother Vail had it, and I'm counting on that, and I'm going to ride in on his coattail. No, you're not. Or they think, my pastor has it, and I'll ride in on his coattail, but you're not going to do it. But God doesn't have grandchildren. He only has children, and you've got to come the same way William Branham came, the same way Brother Vail came, the same way your pastor come. Now, let me comment on that for just a moment, because this is very, very important. From the spoken word of the original seed, Brother Bram said, Jesus said, but few there will be that will be saved. Straight is the gate and narrow is the way, but few there will be that will find it. Just a few. If he said few, that's the word of God, that seed, there'll be few. Won't be tens of billions and billions. It'll just be a few that'll find it. Them that's predestinated to it, they hear it. And remember, Brother Brown also told us the word hear means understand. Excuse me. From straight as a gate. He said, they thought everything that belonged to the church would be saved. How many people you know believe that way? We're in the message. We're all saved. Are you? Do you know there's 2 million people following the message? Maybe more than that by now, because when Sister Vail died, what was it? What year was that? 2001 or two? Was it six? Okay, 2006. Brother Perry Green came to the funeral, and he said, "You know, there's now 2 million people following the message. You know, there's 500,000 just in Congo alone. 500,000. 2 million people following the message. You know how many there was that left Egypt? 2 million." You know how many entered in? Joshua and Caleb. And those who were under 20 at the time of Kadesh Barnea. When was America's Kadesh Barnea? 1956. I think every one of us in here was under 20 in 1956. In fact, some of you weren't even born. Most of you weren't even born. Hallelujah. The type holds. They thought everything that belonged to the church would be saved. Jesus said, straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, and few there be that find it. Let me warn you this morning, church, be careful. It takes time today in our self-righteousness, our self-sufficient generation of hypocrisy that we're living in, an hour that men and women stand in the church and in the pews and sing the anthems of God and walk out of the church and smoke cigarettes and drink whiskey and go to dances and live for the world and tell dirty, smutty jokes and call themselves Christians. And men and women can walk from the pulpit or from the church and from the place of the power of the resurrection where that messianic sign is a moving among them and not be a new creature in Christ. There's something wrong. When we have had God himself come down in the form of the pillar of fire, stand over a prophet and use that prophet and his vocal cords to speak to this generation and see signs and wonders like never before. And even in this little church, we've seen things happen. And people sit back and they say, well, I don't believe it. People leaving this message, well, William Brown, he ain't the prophet of Malachi 4. What more could you expect? What are you looking for? They'd be the same people that would have criticized Jesus when he took the rope and he played at it and went into the temple and whipped him out. They didn't see perfection in the man. You're not going to see perfection this side of the resurrection. Look, if you're looking for perfection in me, you'll never see it. I'm sorry, the other side of the resurrection you will. Because I won't have this body that was born in sin, shaped and nuclear to come forth the world speaking lies. to deal with. You won't have yours either. It's not that we don't try to live as best we can by the grace of God, to live every day with Him in our heart. As David said, I've set the Lord always at my right hand. And because He's there, I will not be moved. And my flesh shall rest in hope. Hallelujah. Now let me warn you this morning, church, be careful. It takes time today in our self-righteous, self-sufficient generation of hypocrisy that we're living in. And Brother Branham just really lets them have it. And then he says, and men and women can walk from the pulpit or from the church and from the place of the power of the resurrection, where that same messianic sign is a moving among them, and not be a new creature in Christ. There's something wrong. When the papers can blast it from coast to coast, back and forth from the frozen regions of the north to the tropical jungles of the south, God sends it and the people constantly turn their back upon it, then what can we say? What can we do? We turn back to the scriptures where he said, straight is the gate and narrow is the way, but few there be that find it. From God's way made for us, he said, I can see him start out like that, and all of them, and they get to the side of the mountain yonder that they can't even get through, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way, but few there'll be that find it. And then he said, brother, I'm not packing up to go to heaven. Now listen. How many of you out there collecting as much as you can? I'm not packing up to go to heaven. I'm unpacking to go to heaven. Hallelujah. There's a rapture cut loose of everything. The Bible said, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, that we might run this race with patience. Now you see, Brother Don, who's been talking to you? To cut loose of everything? You know where that come from? That come from your Father. You caught His vision. He gave it to you in a dream form instead of a vision. But it's right in line with what the prophet is saying right here. Cut loose of everything. Straight is the gate, Brother Bram said, if you want to know who's going to make it, find me one person in our city that sighs and cries, constantly bothered and wearied, and praying for the abomination that's done in the city. Can you raise your hand and put it on one person? Then take this scripture. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth to life. Few there will be that find it. That's the only ones that was to be sealed. And from everlasting life, and this one's perfect. Well, they're all perfect, but this one is very specific. I'm laying aside every weight that so easily beset me, and I've got to run this race with patience. And the reason why, for those that are new here, all the scripture is put in red. Brother Branham's is all put in blue, so that when you read the sermon, you can understand who's speaking. And Brother Branham's quoting scripture. I'm laying aside every weight that so easily beset me. Paul said that. And I've got to run this race with patience. Paul said that. For straight is the gate, narrow is the way, but few there be that find it. There's only room for you and Jesus. Nobody else can go through. Well, Lord, I'm going to pack my wife. No, you're not. She's got to come on her own. I'm going to pack my kids. No, you're not. They got to come on their own. There's only room for you and Jesus. Then all those virgins arose and they trimmed their lamps. They heard the midnight cry. They saw the works, the signs, the wonders. And they said, what is this all about? And they got their Bibles open and they began to trim. They began to look. They began to search the scriptures to find out, what is this all about? They heard the midnight cry. They realized the day and the hour that they were living, and they realized He's here. And they began, listen, I could show you specifically dates in this message when these things begin to happen. Like Brother Branham said in November 28th of 1965, just a few days before he died, from God's only provided place of worship, a month before he went. Brother Branham said, the church is now beginning to understand the message. She's now beginning to apply the scripture to it. But friends, we've got to lay in the presence of the Son to ripen. We're not ripe yet. But when we're ripe, we're going to be like those people that I saw when I was translated on the other side. Sweet, kind, full of the love of God. Amen. I believe we're moving closer, brother, sister.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
They heard the midnight cry. They did in the 60s. They realized the day and the hour which you're living. And then they begin to trim their lamps. And when they did, they said, oh, now I know who's here. The Lord himself has come down with a shout, a voice, a trump. He's already performed the shout. The message has gone forth. We're waiting on him who's here to raise the dead. Because Brother Branham, see, a lot of these people that, you know, I call them the bride boys. They believe the bride is going to speak the word and the resurrection will begin. There's no scripture for it. There's no quotes for it. Brother Branham said the same voice that raised Lazarus from the dead will speak and the resurrection will take place. And that was the same God that was indwelling his son Jesus. Because the man Jesus, he wept. That was a man. But the God that was in him said, Lazarus, come forth.
Sure.
And Brother Branham said, that was more than a man. That was God. And that same God has come down with a shout. And that same God is here with a voice. And the voice is quickening us in the spirit. So we're going to get ready for that return. I don't want to call it the return ministry. I'll call it the new ministry that Brother Brown called it that. He didn't call it a return ministry. He said, when I get my tent, he said, I've got a new ministry coming. So, then all of these virgins, and remember, Jesus had a resurrection ministry for 40 to 50 days. And Brother Brown said, when I get my tent, I want to go through the lines for about 6 weeks. That's about 42 days. Yeah? And he said, about. So maybe be 40, we don't know. But he said, I want to go between the lines. And he said, and I was looking down from another dimension, looking down, and the angel said, I'll meet you in there, the resurrection. Watch the resurrection in there. Brother, sister, it's all about the resurrection. Hallelujah. And they began to search their Bibles. And when they did, the foolish virgin realized that they didn't have what it took to bring light upon this midnight cry, to see it clearly for what it was, because she had no oil in her vessel. She had been slumbering and sleeping, and as it was in the days of Noah, wherein they ate, they drank, they married, they gave in marriage, they bought, they sold, until Noah entered into the ark. In other words, they were so caught up into their daily activities, they missed the day of their visitation, and they perished in the flood. And Jesus said, as it was then, so will it be at the revealing of the Son of Man. In other words, are you, brothers and sisters, so caught up into your jobs that that takes your focus away from Christ? If you are, it's just like the days of Noah. You need to be focused on him. And so the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. It's dark here. We can't see like we used to see, be able to see. Our oil has gone out. What Holy Ghost we had upon the word at one time, we seem to no longer have it. Everything is getting dark, for gross darkness has covered the land. And I've seen people in this message that for years and years, you know, years and years, they had some light on this word. And today you look at them and their preeminence is in Super Bowls and football and everything else. And they're drifting. They're getting covered over by the things of the world. It's getting, you know, you look, you put wet wood into your firebox and it smokes up your glass. Huh? Anybody know that? How many use a wood burner? You ought to know what I'm talking about. If that wood isn't dried out, it's going to smoke. In the old days, the cowboys, you know, when they're trying to hide from the Indians, they get the driest twigs they could and make their little campfire with dry twigs because there would be no smoke. You see? Everything is getting dark. Gross darkness has covered the land. From the sudden secret going away of the church, Brother Ram said, how many of you, all perhaps here, have read the virgins? Some were wise, some were foolish. Virgins means purity. They were all good people, every one of them. Sanctified vessels of God, but those who had oil in their lamp went in and the others was left out. They were all virgins, everyone people that you couldn't put your finger on for anything wrong. So this wasn't the adulterers. This wasn't the fornicators. This wasn't the thieves. These people were living a sanctified, holy life. Those people aren't even included in the foolish virgin. They were all virgins, everyone people that you couldn't put your finger on or anything else, anything wrong. Everyone believed in the coming of the Lord. They were ready to go meet him, but some of them let their oil go out. Don't let that be your case. Keep oil in your lamp. Oil is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And remember, again, 1 Corinthians 2. What man can understand the things of God except the Spirit of God be in him? You cannot understand unless you got the Holy Ghost. And you do things in your life. You let things get clouded up. And the Holy Spirit is very timid. He'll step out. And when he stepped out, you ain't going to get no revelation on this word. You might get man's thinking on this word. But when your life is not living right, he's not obligated. He's not obligated for one second. That's what the scripture's showing us here. Never let it drain from you. When you feel your love dying away, your sincerity to Christ and to the cause, quickly go to him who has the fountain of oil and buy for yourselves a filling of the Holy Spirit. Our nation is gone, morally corrupted and ruined. Our politics is corrupted and gone. Our leaders, oh God, what could we do about it? You can put a good man in and he becomes out of it a crook. There's only one that we can bring now, and that's the Lord Jesus. Let's make ready for his coming. But the wise answered and saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and for you. But go you rather and to them that sell and buy for yourselves. You've got to get your own oil. You've got to get your own experience. You've got to get your own relationship with him. My relationship with him won't do you any good. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door, the word, was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, like in Matthew 7, Lord, Lord, did not we prophesy in your name? Did not we preach in your name? Did not we cast out devils in your name? Did not we do these mighty, wonderful works? And he says, depart from me, I never knew you. Well, in Matthew 25, he says, afterward came the other virgin saying, Lord, Lord, open up to us. And he answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, I know you not. In other words, I used to know you as my wife, but I don't know you as my wife any longer. That's the great divorcement that Dr. Hoyer spoke of, who is perhaps the greatest Greek scholar in the United States ever had. And that is what he said to Brother Vail concerning this verse and the correct translation of it. And that man loved Brother Branham's ministry. He saw the fulfillment of so many scriptures that you and I just ponder about. Watch therefore, for you know not neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. So we see they had light in the lamps at one time, but that light went out. The oil dried up and they were put away in the divorcement by God. And notice, and there shall be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Tribulation. Ephesians 4 and 17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Well, if that isn't the day and the hour we got, how many people got cell phones? Huh? How many of these do you see on Facebook? What do they call them? Selfies? You're focused on selfie? You're not focused on Christ? That's a bombshell for you girls. People are so vain today, they post their pictures so that everybody can see them. And they're not focused on Christ. Not focused on humility. Not focused on getting out of the way. It's selfies. McDonald's, have it your way. This is the hour we're living in. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord that you walk henceforth not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Having their understanding darkened, they become alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Now, there's a whole lot we could go. I could preach a whole sermon just on this verse right here. Notice they had understanding, but it became darkened. How? Because of the ignorance of their heart. Notice it says, that you walk, henceforth walk not as other Gentiles in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened. They had understanding, but it became darkened. Like the foolish virgin, her lamp got all smoked up. And thus, when their understanding became darkened, confused, like Paul said, now we see through a glass darkly, but then we'll see face to face. We should be seeing clearer and clearer and clearer in this hour than we ever have seen in any other age. Having their understanding darkened, they become alienated from the very life of God. Through the ignorance that is in them. Why? Because of the blindness of their heart. When you're blind, it's all dark. Notice he had understanding, but it became darkened because of the ignorance of their heart. And what happened to them as a result of their understanding becoming darkened? It says they became alienated from the very life of God. Now, this word alienated means to make unfriendly, to become hostile or indifferent, especially where attachment formerly existed, to cause to withdraw or be diverted. In other words, I used to know you as my wife. I used to have an experience with you. I used to have a relationship with you, but I don't have that relationship anymore. What happened? You did something. He didn't. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So you're the one who did something. It means to cause to become withdrawn because they are diverted away from their first love. That's the falling away, brother, sister, and we see it happening all around us. Verse 19, who being past feeling, this means that they have become apathetic. They just don't care for the relationship they had anymore. And being in this condition, they have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanliness with greediness. As Brother Vale so often said, that when they turn down the word, it turns to sex every time. It did it in the garden, and it does it all through the church ages and all through the history of the church. In 1 John 1:1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of what? Life. We've seen it. We've handled it. We've experienced it. What? The word of life. In other words, the word manifested. For the life was manifested. And we've seen it, and we bear witness, and we show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. How do we show it? By the life that we live. We are a reflector. We echo. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which you have heard, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and we do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, notice, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. As long as you're walking in the light, the blood is cleansing. Just keep walking in the light. Now notice, he says, we cannot commune or enter into this fellowship if we are walking in darkness. Light and darkness cannot coexist together. In 2 Corinthians 6:14, the Apostle Paul tells us, be you not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Well, what is an unbeliever? Besides being someone who does not believe, it also means unfaithful. Be not unequally yoked together with those who are unfaithful or who are faithless. Those who are not to be trusted, those who are perfidious, those who are unbelieving, those who are incredulous, those who are without trust. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion has light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial and the worthless and wicked Satan? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And as Brother Collins told me last week, he said, Brother Branham said that a person that smokes will never make it. Why? Because God's body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. I don't care what you smoke, whether you smoke dope, whether you smoke cigars, whether you smoke cigarettes, whether you smoke rolled up pieces of paper, whether you stick your head in the furnace to have an inhale, if you're destroying your body purposely, God will not inhabit that. Wherefore, come out from among them and be you separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my son and daughter, saith the Lord Almighty. Now, in closing, the very name church means called out ones. The very purpose of sanctification is to separate ourselves from the world and the things of the world. You know, right in this message, we have people who do not even understand what it means to be justified and then sanctified. They talk about being filled with the Holy Ghost, but then they want to argue the word with you, and they cannot accept what the message really says. To be justified can only come through faith, which is a revelation. You are justified by faith, and there's only one revelation, and that is the revelation of the one Lord, therefore the revelation of Jesus Christ, understanding how that by two, God could make one man. And that's scripture. That Jesus himself said that. And then that revelation calls for a total separation from unbelief and unbelievers. And this separation is called sanctification. Thus we have justification leading to separation or sanctification, which then gets you ready for the infilling of the word, which is the Spirit of the living God. But as long as you will rub elbows with the unbelievers, you will keep opening up to yourselves that unbelieving spirit, and you'll end up believing what they believe, and therefore you are not sanctified. It's just that simple. Sanctification means being called out altogether. He said, wherefore come out from among them and be you separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. 1 John 2:28, again, a new commandment I write unto you, that which thing is true in him and in you. Because the darkness is past. I hope it is in every one of us. And the true light now shineth. Remember, you're a light upon a hill. Don't put a bushel over it. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. John 12:35. Then Jesus said unto them. Now listen, the same guy that wrote this, John, that said, He that saith he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness. You know, this is the same John who, he mentored Polycarp. You know that. Brother Branham talked about that. If you read Polycarp's writings, Polycarp said that John had gone in with a brother into a bathhouse, you know, in the towns where they go from village to village. There'd be one place where you could go, you could do your cleaning and, you know, your bathhouse, right? John walked into there, and there was a guy named Marcus who preaching false doctrines left and right. And John said to him, hey, we better get out of here, lest the wrath of God strike this place while we're still in it. In other words, I don't want to be where that man's at. He's false. I don't want to be in the same room as him because he's under judgment. I don't want to be there. Yep, that's what he said. And yet he's the same one that says, he that saith he's in the light and hates his brother is in darkness. What does he mean by that? That brother wasn't a brother. I'm sorry. He couldn't have been a brother because he was preaching false. He was preaching Gnosticism. He was preaching a male and female God, a female Holy Ghost. A lot of the stuff that goes on, even in the message today, you know, that there's people preaching the female Holy Ghost. I think that's kind of passe, but that was big about 10 years ago. Yeah, and then that's the bride, of course, they say. No. Listen, study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. I've read all these. I've read Irenaeus. I've read Polycarp. I've read the early fathers. I know what I'm talking about, brother, sister. You know, when Paul left, he said, even now there's wolves and sheep's clothing among you. See? First church age. He says, you've left your first love. John 12:35. Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light. Not just talk about it. Walk it. Lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. And the more they listen to darkness, the more confused they become. But while you have light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus and departed and did hide himself from them. And in closing, John 12:46, I am come as a light into this world, and whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. It's time, brother, sister, we put our focus on him. I don't even want to talk about, like Brother Branham said, if you can't say something nice about somebody, just don't talk about him. You know, There were certain ministers, Brother Vail told me this, who Brother Branham went and had meetings in New York. Brother Vail was there with him. They had billboards all over the city, William Branham, you know, and Brother Branham came to the church, big place. And they left Brother Branham sit in the study the whole service. They never let him come out to preach. They used him to draw the crowds, and they didn't let him even come out to speak. Now, can you imagine that? I could see people doing that to me. They've tried that. A brother wanted to hold my meetings for me and organize my meetings in Uganda. He told all the brothers when I got there wouldn't be any meetings. I'd be sitting in the hotel for a week. God took him off the scene before I came. And the other brothers hosted the meetings. I'm going to tell you something. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Brother Branham, and I did, you know what I did for that person? When I got off the plane, found out he had died. When he heard, the brother from Sweden called him and said, "We're coming, we'll be there in the morning." As soon as that minister hung up the phone, his head began to pound. His wife said, "Go lay down in 15 minutes. If it's not better, I'll take you to the hospital." She walked in 15 minutes later. He said, "No, it's getting worse." She helped him to the car. He got in the car, and before they were out of the driveway, he was dead. And when I got there, I felt so bad. Not because of what he did against God, but what he did against me. I felt bad because I was the little chess piece in God's great plan. And this man opposed this little chess piece to bring the doctrine to those brothers in Uganda. And he opposed it, and he was going to try to thwart it. And God just removed him. We ended up buying a couple cows for his wife and putting the oldest two boys through their college. Just because I didn't like to see God take anybody off the scene for my sake. Brother Bram said when Elisha cursed those children, those 40 children and the she-bears, he said that was not the Spirit of Christ. That was an angry prophet. We have to be ever so careful the words that we speak, because the bride has, thus saith the Lord. She has what the Lord has already said. Thus, the third pole is already in the bride. It's waiting opportunity. Don't misapply the opportunity. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We ask you, Father, to help us, O God. Whatever it takes, Lord, to be more like thee. Like the song says, that's what I'm willing to do. And Father, we pray that you which began the good work in us will finish it, because you promised. You also promised if we be any otherwise minded, you reveal it to us. So we ask you humbly, O God, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior. We ask you to help us to be conformed to the image of that firstborn Son. Help us to be those manifested sons of God. And we know that it is you in us working and performing. And as your Apostle Paul said, it is God in us working both to will and to do his good pleasure. Help us to will, and let our will be your will, or your will be our will. As Jesus said, not my will, but thy will be done. And help us to enter in, to step into your word that you have for each and every one of us. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Well, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. May the Lord make his face shine upon thee. Looks like we don't have any snow coming down, so you're okay to go. The Lord bless thee and keep thee.